And when other people started joining, I did not know where it's going. It kept growing, and then the place, spiritual teachers came and gave talks and different workshops for people to heal themselves in so many nutrition fields and food preparation classes. It was a gift to have it all in something that I created, and the energy of the energy of all these other people that involved. And now I'm here in Israel.
So what moved you out of the States back to Israel? What, there must have been something that actually, I mean, I understand why you'd want to come back without a doubt.
Yeah.
But what if you say the one key thing that was missing there that motivated you to come back here, what would that be?
To put it in one word, and it's not an inclusive one word. It's a word that has a lot to do with it. Simplicity. New York started looking for seeming to me to be so complex, such a big competition and a rat race, a very congested city. It's no wonder that I became congested in New York. I wanted to be more and more outside of the city, or outside of this radiation, the fast pace. I didn't think about Israel. That led me into the decision of spending a summer in Woodstock, right, where I happened to meet Steve. That's where I met you.
Yep.
I came to Woodstock for 3 months. I would stay most of the week in Woodstock, and I would go back to Manhattan for 2 weeks, for 2 days every week. Just to do the very basics that I needed to do. I was still able to work via email and phone to do things I needed to do. But to be in Woodstock, and I stayed in a house with a friend and his wife and their two little girls, and I became a nanny. Here I am in Woodstock with a five-year-old and a five-month-old. I changed diaper for the first time in my life, and I used to take the bottles of milk from the refrigerator and heat them up and feed the baby, and have a relationship with these two girls, which was an amazing process for me.
Wow.
And there my friend took me to this Woodstock congregation. That was a great feeling after years of doing all these different spiritual experimentations and traveling, whether it's in India or in South America with different cultures, all of a sudden to see this Yid culture, which at first was very, very odd. It seemed to be so much in the head, so bourgeois, older crowd, sitting there with the rabbi, the meeting every Saturday morning for doing it's like speed dating, it's speed Shabbat. Usually Orthodox people go there to spend the whole Shabbat in the synagogue, and right. Here, no, we're in America, we don't have much time. We are reform. No, we are constructionists. No, we are renewal. Doesn't matter. It's all these different.
You got an hour and a half.
You have an hour and a half, rabbi. You better sing for us with a guitar. You better entertain us. Give us a good talk about the parasha, the Torah portion,
right.
And do it all in an hour and a half. So then we can get back into our cars and drive back home.
Right.
So and it looked odd, and at the same time, touching on the certain songs of prayers, the words and the music touched in me something that opened another gate. It was very, very, very closed. My grandfather used to be a yeshiva guy back in Poland until he became a Zionist and moved to Israel. And then, of course, the idea of Zionism was to become secular. It was part of the agenda and creating the new Israeli. And all of a sudden, I started connecting into those things that looked to me the most uncool, the things that were so boring, that were even very unattractive for me. And I realized that it's a journey for myself. It doesn't matter that the rabbi comes for an hour and a half and sings guitar and people just come there, and it's what I'm doing with and
with
and
it.
With it.
That's it.
And to find the wisdom and what I can learn from that. That it opened a whole new possibility for me. I was about to move to Costa Rica. In the last years, I used to go there 3 times a year. I created retreats where I would take people and another yoga teacher with me, allow people a place of meditation, yoga, and nutrition inside the jungle, which was a great experience. So I fell in love with Costa Rica. How not? Jungles and oceans. But the gate that has opened to me with Judaism, I think that was the best Aliyah agent. And I found myself a year ago in April 2006. I moved back to Israel.
And you've been busy ever since.
I've been first confused as ever since. I was very not sure of what I'm going to do. The Israelis interested at all in what I have to offer? Who knows? And I went through a self-healing process. It was good, actually, to come to a place where you're not Mr. Sure, where you're not a person that has a center in New York on top of the world. It's been months of going through a painful journey. There was a great offering. It allows you to understand other people when you're not in that place of just breathe. Life is so great. It just changed the way you think. There are deeper things. And what else in Israel? I don't know. I don't have a big center in Israel. I don't have a center at all in Israel.
Yet there's people requesting your services all over the place.
I work as a practitioner in New York. At one point, I had to stop working as a practitioner because I became an administrator. Now I'm working again with people. Israel is full with beautiful festivals. Mm-hmm. It's those festivals are so fascinating, where people come together for 3 days and tenting and just can attend endless variety of classes on spirituality or nutrition or yoga from all different kind of culture. It's a big mishmash on one hand, but it's so many people that I know. Those festivals touch them in a way that they decided we're going to go deeper into spirituality and examining what is my mission in life, who I am, what I'm doing. Great opening. And I love those festivals, and to be a part of those festivals, to teach there, makes me feel even more of a sense of belonging, of being a part of that. And in small Tel Aviv, which is really a small city, my girlfriend is making fun of me all the time, that she says, like, what are you in the social committee or something? All the time there's all these activities that you're running from one to another, and being involved in so many things, activities that I feel more connected to. And Tel Aviv offers that, and Tel Aviv is more of a, compared to New York, it's a very more of a nature city, the variety of trees,
parks
and the water. Beach. And you hop on your bike, and 15 minutes bike ride, you're outside of the city.
Yep.
And you go, you get into your car, and 20 minutes, you're in full nature places. It's a lot to offer. I'm so fascinated with the Israeli winter because it's so green. It's not a snow country where everything freezes. It's actually the time everything is very lush and so many edible plants. So I've been enjoying the winter so much, and the spring. Everything is blooming and all these wild colors everywhere. Every day that I'm sitting on my balcony in Tel Aviv apartment, all I hear is those birds. I live inside a safari, inside a city.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I want, I just go into the desert or I go into the north of the country.
Different world. Another world.
And it's something that, unfortunately, I was promoting health for people, but I did not live the healthiest life. I might have eaten the best quality foods, yet at the same time, to be inside a New York City apartment, it's not really quality of life, which is important, and to ignore what my heart is longing for. There are two camps that want to bring good to the world. it's like the contradiction between the karma world and the bhakti world. The karma world, it means those activists that they want to fight for peace and do demonstrations to stop the WTO, for example. And the bhakti world is those people that want more to do it through let's all become spiritual
devotion
and devotion. Those two camps each think that no, the answer is within us. It's the devotion that will change the world, and then the activists that say no, it's you'll sit and meditate, you will not help anybody, you need to come and demonstrate. And the devotion people say you're going to demonstrate, you can create just more war,
more karma,
and
more negativity.
There's a saying: fighting for peace is like FUK for virginity. And I went last week in Israel, in Tel Aviv. There was a big rally in the Rabin Square. A big rally that called for the current government with the current prime minister and the minister of defense to resign because the lack of functioning and wrong decision making during the last Lebanon war that was here in last summer. I was debating if to go or not to go, and I said, as part of history, this is an historical event, I would go. And also I heard from my apartment with the loudspeakers that came from Rabin Square that was Shalom Chanoch singing. I said, damn, I missed him, but who knows who else is going to perform. So I went into the Rabin Square in order to see what's going on there. There's different debates about how many people came. In the newspaper they said 100,000. During the event they were talking, and now we counted already 250,000 people. What I know, the idea of this rally was that it's not going to be a political rally. It's not the left versus the right. It's both the left, people from the left and people from the right, just sending a message to the government: look, you did not value human life. People died for no reason because of your lack of proper judgment, and you have to take care of those consequences and resign. That unfortunately all these political rallies, activism is important. While, like Mother Teresa used to say, don't ever invite me to an anti-war rally. You're welcome to invite me to a peace rally. The answer will not come from such activism. The answer will come from our personal freedom and growth, not to become people that care only about ourselves. That's not the message. Many times people say all those people that do meditation, they just care about themselves. No, a person can do meditation and then go and volunteer somewhere and help people. Israel can have a name in the world just not only as a big weapon exporter, and at the same time Israel is great in developing, helping with agriculture and amazing scientists.
It's unbelievable.
From such a small country, the wisdom that is coming, the amount of wisdom that came to Israel when first people started coming to Israel, bringing them with them also the wisdom of Judaism combined with the Israeli chutzpah, was a great contribution to Israel and to the world. And now it seems like also the education system, as we move away from Torah and Judaism, surprise, surprise, our education level is decreasing.
I think this is the struggle that's going on right now that I'm witnessing, is that and the topic of discussion, the demonstrations and the strikes by the students in the universities and down through the high schools, the realization that you have to increase at least immediately by 30 to 50% the salaries of the people who take care of your children all day, and the dynamic of what's to be learned. Is it just to learn stuff, or is it to learn to critically think? Because if you learn how to critically think, you can almost do anything. It really doesn't even matter what you study. And where to take the wisdom that we've been given through the generations in Torah to implement it and make it part of our educational process without having to be dati or mesorti, you know, traditional, religious, or whatever.
There's so many interesting things happening in Israel. You mentioned the Muslim-Jewish weekend that I was invited to. For Muslims and Jews to meet in the desert in a Bedouin camp for the weekend. And I was invited, so I went there. We were not many people. We were 20 people, and I heard that it was not easy to get Muslims to join, but some Muslims came. They were amazing people, and everything that created them, that was created between us. We got to speak a lot of nutrition, and there we were, just us, in the desert, speaking. It was very heart-opening, and we decided to also keep in touch. You know, many times it's the feeling when you end such a weekend. You never know if it will happen or not, but
the intent is there.
Intent is there, and it was such a pleasure to meet these people. When we got into that place in the desert, only then we all found out that the person that has the camp, it's not the person that contributed the money for that, but the person running that camp is the founder of a political party in Israel called Green Leaf.
That's funny.
What do you know about this party that you're laughing?
Well, it's a party that wants the legalization of yes. marijuana.
Yes. And actually, we felt strange about that because we didn't know that. And here we are in the headquarters of this party that wants to legalize marijuana, which is a whole political debate by itself. And here there are some Arabs there. Some of them, one of them, she's a lawyer. Another one works in a high-ranking position in another company. They cannot get caught, you know, that somebody will know that they are in a place like that, because it's for them, they are under more scrutiny than Jews, the Israeli Jews. So they didn't feel comfortable with that. And then there was also an Israeli Jewish high-ranking police officer that came. He said, actually, I should now pull my ID and arrest you all. And at least for an interrogation, you know. So we had to overcome that obstacle, which was very strange, because why? No need to mix that. The politics
of... It's complicated enough. It doesn't need to add that to the mix.
Completely. And so we managed. We managed to go above, to rise above that obstacle.
So how do people get in touch with you? Not only here, but even abroad or in the States or wherever they're listening. If they'd like to get in touch with you to ask you a question or ask you to come and visit them as a consultant or run a lecture or whatever, what's the good way for them to get in touch?
The best way to get in touch is through the website.
Okay.
On the website, there's a contact us link with and alokhealth.com, which is spelled alokhealth.com.
We'll have a link on the website for that too.
And over there through the contact page, there's a way to contact me directly. I'll be receiving your emails, and I'll be happy to hear from people from the States, from the USA, from Israel, and from any other country in the world. In the Arab Jewish weekend, I also happened to meet two young Jewish Israelis. They're both 25 years old, and they both study Judaism in the Tel Aviv University. My heart opened so much to see these young adults, the 25 year olds, mm-hmm. with such awareness for society, for Judaism, for everything that goes in Israel, and for the hope of how Israel can continue being an independent country and going into a higher state of mind. When people ask me, are you religious, are you secular, I don't know what to answer. And in a way, these two young guys coined a term that's really touched me. And the term is chidati. Now, coming from the word chida means mystery. One of the meaning of the word chida is mystery. And chidati also stands for chiloni and dati combined together. Chiloni is secular, dati is religious. So you take chiloni and dati, it becomes chidati. Secular plus religious become mysterious. Which means life is the mystery. This is
beautiful.
Our journey here.
Beautiful.
And I said to this young guy, to this 25-year-old guy, you just told me who I am.
Me too.
This is
wow, that's great.